If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter 3. We want to continue with our theme for the year. We have been talking about doing that is necessary. Then we do that that's possible. And suddenly we can do the impossible. And we talked about that was necessary. Now I want to talk about those things that are possible. Do you realize it is possible to have a life-changing experience in God today? Amen. I still believe that God hasn't changed. I still believe the same God that saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost 2,000 years ago is still the God that's on the throne, who is still saving, sanctifying, filling people with the Holy Ghost and changing lives in the day in which we're living now. And I believe a person who comes into contact with God and really gets in contact with God will be changed. Amen? Glory. And I know God still does that work. And I know some of you are going to think it's a little strange, the scripture I'm going to use this morning, but I want to talk to you about the life-changing effect of the wind of God. Amen. And before you go and say something, I'm Pentecostal. I'm not ashamed of what I am, and I'm not backing up. Amen. I was in Pickens County at an association meeting of a particular denomination, and most of the men there know me. And I was invited to speak, so the president knows me. And I was speaking that morning for their devotion for their meeting. And before the devotion and the meeting got started good, one of their new pastors looked over at me and he said, you one of them Pentecostals? Well, they knew I was Church of God. I mean, let's face it, if you're Church of God, you're Pentecostal unless you're from Anderson, Indiana. 157 denominations, and there's one of them that's not Pentecostal, use the name Church of God. I said, well, yes, I am. He said, you know that's not for today. I said, really? He said, yeah, I said, well, we're old-fashioned where we come from. He looked at me sort of funny. He said, no, you don't understand. The Holy Ghost is not for our generation. It doesn't happen anymore. I said, really? I said, and where did you learn that? He said, I've been to school. Then he started telling me about all his theological degrees. He had more degrees than a cheap thermometer. He looked over at me and he said, now, where did you go to school? I said, Knee College. He said, Knee College? Is that in Tennessee? I said, no, I was in the field at my daddy's barn. I said, I got me a BA from there, born again experience. Y'all know me, I wasn't going to let it die. I said, I got a doctor of divinity. He said, you have a doctor of divinity? I said, yeah. He said, go to Gatlinburg. I've eaten at one of them places. That divinity up there is some of the best I've eaten at all. Glory. How many of you know me well enough to know that if somebody slaps me like that, I'm going to play around with it, but I will get back even? Sometimes I get ahead. I did the devotion. I was very nice. I got to the end of the devotion, and I asked if we could have prayer, and I purposely prayed for that guy. Then I waited for them to have their meeting, and I went into their room. They have a room where they have a library where all the preachers can go to and research things, and I went in their room, and they had a set of the early church fathers. These are the Neeson and Anneeson fathers. It's the progenitors of all Christian thought. And I reached up and pulled a particular book off that I had read from before. That's why you read things. It comes back to you when you need it. And I go over there and I find the place I'm looking for, and I borrowed the highlighter and I marked it real good. And I walked back in and I handed it to the president. And I said, at the right moment, would you read what I've got highlighted on page so-and-so? And he said, sure. I looked over to the gentleman. I said, sir, you've been to theological seminary and you've done all that studying. I said, now, who was the first person of your denomination that created thought? And he said, Tertullius. I said, so anything Tertullius said, you would say would be your thought pattern and what you believe. He said, of course. I looked over to the president and said, would you read what I marked there under the writing of Tertullius out of the books of the early church fathers? And Tertullius said this, anyone who says the gifts of the charismata and the gifts of the Holy Spirit for this day are not real is a heretic and should be shunned. I looked at him, I said, no, I didn't say that. Your man said it, so you just need to call him if you can find him. Amen. Brother Brandon Pinion, about 80-year-old, still pastor of the church, busted out laughing. He said, feller, You done figured out why none of us fool with this kid. Glory. Amen. Church, the reality is I'm not ashamed of who I am. If I was, I'd be something different. I'm Pentecostal because I know there is a Holy Spirit. I know there is an anointing of God, and I know the wind of God changes our lives. And notice what Jesus is doing. He ties the move of the Spirit into being born again. So I said, now, preacher, you got to have the Holy Ghost to be born again? No. I made that statement Wednesday night. You do not have to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. But it's a whole lot easier to make it if you've got it. Amen. Notice what he said. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one of that is born of the Spirit. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would move by the power of your divine grace. Minister to us with your love, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Shake your neighbor's hand. Look him in the eye and say, Hey, I feel the wind. Lord. You folks never had the privilege of meeting my dad, but a lot of who I am, I picked up from him. He was in the hospital one time, and the pastor came to see him. The pastor walked in. He said, Yeah, I knew you were coming. He said, Was you watching TV? Saw me walk through the lobby. He said, No, I was looking at the barometer on the window, and it went to dry and windy. They were friends. I mean, that was just the way Dad had to lighten him up. Amen. But the reality is, church, Jesus is here. A religious man comes to see him. He said, Now, I know you're a teacher of God. I want to learn something from you. He said, Well, first of all, you've got to be born again. You can know all you want to know about Scripture, because probably the man he's talking to is one of the most knowledgeable men of Scripture you'll ever find. He said, You got to know more than just Scripture. You got to know God. You've got to go beyond being born in the flesh. You've got to be born in the Spirit. And you know, we have people that go to church all their life and think because they've been in church all their life, well, they're just saved. It doesn't happen that way. You can be in church, have your name on every roll, but until you've been born again, washed in the blood of Calvary, renewed in his love, you are not going. But let me tell you something else. You can be a rank sinner on a street corner and about to die and ask Jesus to forgive you, and you'll be just as much a Christian as somebody raised in church. Because once Christ gets a hold to you, that's all that matters. The thief on the cross couldn't go through theological school. But unless Jesus is a liar, he was in paradise that night. Because he said, This day you will be with me in paradise. Amen. Hello? That's good preaching. Amen. That's for those that think you got to get saved and be in church for so many years before you can make it. You can get saved just as you get to the finish line, slide under that gate, and come out the other side. You won. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, in these verses, Jesus refers to the work of the Holy Spirit in the born again experience. The word Spirit simply means the breath or wind, so that the Holy Spirit could literally be called the wind or the breath of God. In John 20, 22, Jesus is praying for the disciples. The Bible said he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, church, realize this. In the beginning, God made man. He scooped up a little mud man, formed him out, you know, had him a little mud dude laying there. And the Bible said he breathed into his nostrils, and that mud became a living soul. And it was the breath of God that put life in man physically and made him up walking and moving. Amen. Man then broke that breath when he broke the law of God by taking of the tree and separating himself from God. And literally because of that separation, he died because he was separated from God. But when you get born again, God renews your soul, breathes in you the breath of his love and his spirit and his anointing, and life in the spirit comes in you through the breath of God, of the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. Could you say amen? Glory. Somebody said, well, preacher, you just said I got to have the Holy Ghost get saved. The Bible tells me when I get saved, the Spirit of God dwells with me. Therefore, it is part of the experience of being born again, is that I am anointed and now am in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Glory. We in Pentecost believe there is a secondary outpouring. And when the Bible said, you shall be not only with you, but he shall be in you. And that's when you are immersed in the Spirit. Amen. Glory. Somebody said, is that different? Yeah, it is. I can pour water on me. That's one thing. If I jump in the pool, that's a whole different scenario. Come on, church. Amen. And when I get saved, God pours water on me. When I get filled with the Holy Ghost, I get in the pool in the deep end. Glory. Amen. Glory. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. In verse 8, Jesus compares the working of the Spirit to the moving of the wind. The wind moves. Let's face it, church, none of you's ever seen the wind. You don't walk out in the open field and say, there comes the wind. You know the wind's coming because you see the action of what it's doing. It's picking up dust. It's moving trees. It's moving limbs. If there's nothing there for you to see, you just suddenly get hit because the wind ran up on you because you didn't see it. And that's what he's saying. Nobody knows where the wind came from, how it got there. We just know it went by because we felt it. Come on, church. Amen. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit in the scripture is wind. Genesis 1 and 2. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness descended upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The breath of God, the wind of God. God just breathed on the water, and it began to move back, and land began to appear. Amen. Glory. Psalms 33 and 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Glory. Glory. Samuel, listen to this, 2 Samuel 5:24, and let it be, when thou hearest the sound of the going, the tops of the mulberry tree, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, and then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. Amen. If you've never read this story, David's fighting the Philistines. He's outnumbered. He's trying to figure out how to fight with them, and he just decided, God, we're just going to go straight in there and wear them out. And hopefully God's going to help us, and a few of us will survive. And the Lord spoke to David and said, circle around behind them. Get under the mulberry trees and attack from there. And don't move till you hear the sound of the wind going through the trees, because that'll be the heavenly host passing you by to go wear them out before you get there. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Some of y'all said, now, preacher, you can't prove that. I guarantee if you'd been one of them Philistines that day, you'd have said something hit us long before he got here. Amen. And all of a sudden, there's a wind in the mulberry tree. David goes forth, and the enemy is delivered into his hand. And not only did most of them survive, but they won a great victory over an outnumbered enemy. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? All through the Bible, we see where God's people were outnumbered, but when God got involved, it all of a sudden became a whole new scenario. And we in the day in which we're living need to understand we may be outnumbered in this world, but the God that is for us is greater than anything that can come against us. And if God be for us, who can come against us? Glory. You get a whole new attitude when you look at it that way. Amen. And the Bible tells us in Acts 2 and 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. Amen. They weren't up dancing, turning flips. They were just sitting there praising God, and the Holy Ghost fell on them. Glory. And then they got up and went to dancing, turning flips. I mean, they got so excited they ran out the door and didn't even realize I was outside until they realized I'm in the crowd. Hello? Well, since I'm here, let me tell you what's got me going. Amen. Come on, church. Wouldn't it be great if that happened to some of us? We got so excited about God, we was down to the mall witnessing and didn't even realize how we got there. Hey, do you know about Jesus? How did I get here? Glory. Somebody say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm telling you the truth. It can happen. Amen. Listen, the new birth is not the end of what God has for you. We got so many people, oh, I'm saved now. And they stop. You start on a trip. You make it to a place you're trying to get to. Is that the end of the trip or is that the beginning? We landed in Buffalo, New York, got the car. And as I was leaving the airport, I looked at the guy and said, look, we don't know nothing about this place. Never been here. May never be back. But is there a good place to eat? He looked at me and said, well, Duff's is right down the road. I said, great. What's Duff's? He said, they're the ones that invented hot wings, what we call buffalo wings. That's why they're called buffalo wings. They were invented in Buffalo. It ain't because somebody out west cut the wing off of a buffalo. And I told Fred, I said, we go in there. They got a warning on the wall. Medium is hot. Medium hot is very hot, and hot is very, very, very hot. They lied. Hot is very, 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 very hot. My nose was running while I was eating those things. I mean, that was awesome. Glory. Yeah, I left. I could breathe, and the windshield would turn white with fog. Glory. And you know, if God gets in your life, he'll guide you. Well, he wasn't helping us that day. We had GPS. Our first day in Buffalo, New York, and we go 40 miles the wrong way because the GPS took us. Then I pulled off this store. I said, sir, how much farther is it to Niagara, Ontario? He said, dude, you're going the wrong way. So we got a first day free in the car. I called a guy and told him what happened. He said, we're going to cut the first day off. We're going to take off the GPS. You just have a good day. I said, thank you. So then I used KAS. I started following roads on my own. Got back, went across the bridge. You know, it's something about you hit Queen Elizabeth Bridge. You're going into Canada. And I got in there, and I got a causeway road that run us all the way into Niagara. I just had to follow it, and the sign said, drop off. We dropped off and went right straight to Niagara Falls. Got to the motel, amen, without GPS, amen, because it took us 40 miles out of the way, amen. But notice this, the Spirit of God is not, when we got to Niagara Falls, that wasn't the end of the trip. We checked in the motel, walked out on the balcony, and there was the falls. It was awesome, first time I'd ever seen it, and I'm sitting there listening to it, looking at it, and I'm all excited, but I actually got to go down there by it. I rode a boat up to it. I got to see this, all the sunset. All the rest of that happened after the beginning. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Born again is just the beginning of the experience. You've just took the wrapper off the gift. You've got to get into the box and get what God's got for you. And there's an anointing and a presence and a power of Almighty God that can change your life. Woo. The wind is one of the most powerful forces on the face of this earth. Compared to the Holy Spirit working, it's better to believe it's not by accident. We can take a look at the wind and nature and see God can do in us as though it were the Holy Spirit. This is referring to God in us, what seems to be impossible when our life is moved upon by the wind of God. Notice, wind is a transforming force. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? The Spirit of God begins to lead, guide, direct you into all truth. And the more you give over to the Spirit, the anointing of God, the farther you get away from the things that used to influence you over there, and you get to the place you start making better decisions because God's helping you make those decisions. How many of you understand most of the trouble we ever had in our life was because we made poor decisions? Amen. poor decisions will kill. Y'all do realize the Titanic would have never sunk if the dude just made the right decisions. Number one, the only guy that ever sailed in the North Atlantic during ice season was in a bed of sleep. That's not a good decision. The boat was running full speed because it was trying to set a record on the first trip. That's not a good decision. And when the guy saw the iceberg, he immediately threw the boat into reverse. How many of you know anything about boats? You throw it in reverse, what just happened? You no longer control the boat, because the water going by the rudder is what gives you control. And he suddenly said, turn. Well, you can't turn fast while you're going backwards. And so while they're trying to stop the boat with the motors in reverse, they hit the iceberg. Statistical science said if he just said hard left or stern, whatever that is, he would have missed the iceberg by half a mile. But he made a poor decision. Do you realize we make poor decisions every day because we base upon what we think instead of letting God influence us? You say, prove it, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because the Spirit of God will override your human thoughts and your analogies and will tell you where to go and what to do. Walk in the Spirit and do what? Hide the Word of God in your heart. It'll become a light unto your path. What lights it up? The anointing of the wind and the anointing of the Spirit helps to guide us through the places we need to go. Could you say amen? The wind is a transforming power. The wind plays a big role in transforming the landscape. Amen. I checked with boy when I came in, just so I'd get the story straight. We were in the bunkhouse at Big Timber last year, and it's an experience to be in a block bunkhouse, and it's below zero, and you got electric heaters trying to stay warm. We in there, and all of a sudden, Tommy goes, who has the shower on? I said, ain't nobody got the shower on. He said, listen. I said, that is the wind, because it wasn't just going. It was. And we're not talking about for just as long as I did it. It was all night. I don't know if the wind ever took a break. I thought it ought to get tired after a while and rest. We met Ron the next morning for breakfast. He said, I got to go down and blow off the parking lot. I said, yeah, it's not necessary. He said, why? I said, there ain't no snow left on the parking lot. It's gone. Glory. That whole parking lot been transformed back into asphalt. Glory. The night before, we was walking on snow, going over to give the kids their presents, and the next day, it's gone because it blew it off. He didn't have to work that day. God had done it for him. Amen. The wind is a transforming fire. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Sometimes we need that wind to help us. Come on, church. Amen. All through the years, people have used wind for different things. It's been windmills back in the old days. If you go to Colonial Williamsburg, you'll see a windmill. It's a house. The wind on the front of it, the propellers up there, when the wind would hit it, that whole house would turn so that it would stay in the wind. But inside was the gears of a gristmill. And they'd use that wind to grind corn and grind stuff in that gristmill, because the power of that wind, they could transform it into something they could use. Amen. Today, you go out west and you'll find whole farms of nothing but these great big old towers with propellers on them. And they make more electricity than an atomic energy plant can make, because those things are spinning. You go through there and you just roll the window down and you hear, and there's hundreds of them. And we talking about propellers. Each propeller, each blade has to be carried by one truck. That's how big they are. And they're moving like that because that wind is producing energy that we use. And it's all because that wind could transform into energy, into power, into anointing. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of us keep talking about, well, preacher, I just don't have the energy to do it. Y'all know where I'm going with this. If you just let the wind blow through you, it'll start putting a little energy in you. Amen. You say, preacher, don't. The Bible said the Holy Spirit of God gives us power, gives us anointing. Amen. And it sets us in motion. Amen. There's an old song, oh, the Spirit of the Lord sets my feet to dancing. The Spirit of the Lord sets my heart in show. And well, once in a while, we need to let the God get a hold of us and put our feet to moving and give us steps that God has put in our life and let him transform us from just sitting around to doing something for God. I wasn't going to do this, but I am. I'm too old. Country saying, hog wash. Abraham was 90 years old, had a youngin. You ain't too old. Joshua, I'm 85 years old. I'm too old to fight. His buddy said, I'm the same age as you, and I'm fit to go whoop them giants. I'm tired of fooling these little folks. Glory. That's not the exact conversation. That's what he done. He went and took the mountain, and the mountain's where the giants were. Hello? I learned bus ministry from an 85-year-old woman. She didn't use no excuses. She just went to work. I was 20 years old. Woman like to kill me. She had more energy than I do. Now, she was wide open all day Saturday and Sunday, and then she said, well, I got all week to rest. Hello? The Spirit of God gives you energy you don't realize you have. It can get you in motion. It can transform you. It can help you. Somebody sent me a text. It says, keep it short, stupid. I'm serious. Somebody sent me a text. I didn't read it. I just took it off, so it quit beeping. Hopefully. Amen. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I was in the middle of a state council meeting not long ago, and my phone started vibrating. Of course, that was a guy trying to pay me back, because a couple of times before I called him three times, got him in trouble with the overseer, because right in the middle of a conversation, his phone would go off, and he'd jump up and run out, and his phone would go off, and he'd jump up and run out. Finally, he walked in and sat down, and the overseer said, could you turn your phone off? He turned his phone off. Overseer's phone rang. You got to do something if you're bored. Glory. Amen. Even in our best efforts, we're still a long way from where God wants us to be spiritually. He is constantly working to change us, to transform us, to become what he wants us to be. Notice, if we really want to get where we got to be, we've got to have Christ formed in us. Paul told the church at Galatia, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. That's what we're after. Is that Christ is formed in us. What we say is, Paul, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life I live because of him. In him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being, and by him I am more than a conqueror. Amen. Glory. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 said, till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, under the perfect man, under the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. I'm not Christ-like like I want to be, but I'm working on it. I'm still in the temple mode. I still lose my temper and throw tables around and stuff. I'm working on it. Smile. Some of y'all ought to try it. It'll help. Now, what would Jesus do? He took a whip, popped some of them, throwed the tables over, and told them to get out of the building. Glory. I haven't done that. Glory. Some of y'all are like, he never did that. You better read your Bible. You know what made him mad? The very things we do in the church today. And I'm fixing to leave this for a second. They were shortchanging worship because they were in too hurry to do everything else. So instead of preparing their offerings like they're supposed to do, they run out to church and just buy them. They don't need to take a lamb, pull it out and keep it, and let it become part of the family, something you fall in love with. And come on, church. We get animals, put it in our house. Next thing you know, we in love with them animals. That was the whole idea, taking that little lamb, putting it in the house. It became a part of the family. And for a year, you nourished it, you kept it, you loved it, you washed it. And then you took that you loved and you gave it to God. But they're not doing that. They're just running out to church and buying a lamb. They're running out to church and buying them a few pigeons or whatever they're making an offering of. What are you getting at? Well, we all week long, we got everything on our mind but God. This Sunday morning, we jump up, read a Sunday school lesson, head to church. Whoa, I'm going to worship. And you run in hoping somebody's going to sing Granny's favorite song so you can get excited. And the preacher's going to preach a sermon you like so you can worship. And we have shortchanged everything that's going on. But I'm going to tell you something made him even madder than that, and it's something we're doing bad in the church world today. They had the doves in a box over in the back corner just in case somebody wanted to get excited. Because you see, the Holy Ghost can't move in a church service if you're going to build a church. That's what we're told now. You can't have a move of God in the sanctuary. You got to have your room. If somebody wants to shout, they got to go to the room. I'd have to preach in the stupid room. Y'all have to listen to me over the intercom. Glory. Amen. Because I am not going to backseat the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not going to put it in a box in the back corner. I don't believe that's where he belongs. The glory and glory Spirit of God belongs in the house of the Lord, moving where he wants to. And worship ought to happen in here, not somewhere else. He said, lift up holy hands in the sanctuary and magnify the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Glory. Y'all pray for me, because if something don't change, I'm going to preach this at the camp meeting this summer. I may be on the rail leaving Pickens County before the night's over with. Glory. The other guy said, I'll amen you while you preach it. I said, what do I give you the notes? You preach it. He said, only if God tells me to. Glory. Come on, church. Y'all ain't never been around nobody like that, have you? Go ahead. I'll watch you. I think it'll be funny. Come on, church. The reality is, we've come to a place in the church world where we're ashamed of the very important power of God that God says we need to have in the house of the Lord. One of our national parks, they used to have a thing that became an annual where everybody would go and they'd watch as the firemen, the park rangers, would light a fire at the top of the hill. All during the month before, they'd be pushing all the dead trees and limbs. They'd get them up to the edge of this gorge. They'd put diesel fuel on them and light them. Once they got burning, they'd take a bulldozer and shove them off that hill, and they'd fall down in the rocks and burn. It was called the Firefall. People would come from miles around and states away to see it. And they got there one time and it didn't happen. One gentleman went to the park office and was all upset. I brought my family. I told my kids about it. I seen it when I was a kid. Why did the fire not fall? And he said, because we won't be doing that anymore. We found out by what we did, we were destroying the forest. Because they were trying to keep down forest fires. They didn't realize they needed the fire to have a forest. seeds would fall off the trees. They would have encasings on them. We call them nuts, but they're seeds. There's encased. The walnut, the different types of seed would hit the ground. And because there was no fire, the incrustation on the outside would never pop open. The seed would never get out and get in the ground. And no new trees were being born. And the old trees were dying and the forest was dying. It took several years, but they finally got the forest back because the seeds started coming in because of those fires that happened every year that they were trying to stop. Well, what was literally making the forest grow? I said, preacher, that's a great story, but what's it going to do for the church? Isaiah said it is the anointing, the breath of God, the Spirit that breaks the yoke of bondage and sets the captive free. We need the fire to fall. We need the anointing to come. Because it takes that to break the incrustation around the hearts of sinners that enter this building that need God. It takes that anointing to break down the yoke of bondage that's binding people in our families that need deliverance. And it can't happen until we let God loosen our lives and let Him move in us. And when we do that, God will begin to move in us and use us to see lives changed. And I believe with all my heart, we need to experience the life changing effect of the wind in our lives. Stand with me all over the house. More and more of our preachers are doing away with altar calls. More and more of our preachers are doing away with the move of the Spirit in the church. More and more of our preachers are saying it's not necessary. We don't need it. We shouldn't have it. My church, that is the lifeblood of what makes us who we are. D.L. Moody did not give an altar call one night while preaching in Chicago, Illinois. That night, the town burned. Hundreds of people in that tent died without knowing Jesus because he did not give an altar call. Lamenting in a writing a few weeks later, he promised everyone who read that writing, "I will never speak publicly again, no matter what venue it is. Did I not give an opportunity for people to know Christ?" Historical record bears that from that day forward, he never spoke publicly in any venue, whether it be a Bacalark service, where he had the opportunity that somebody didn't come to know Christ. We need to understand these are all part of what God has put in the church. It all comes through the life changing efforts of the wind and the presence of God. We need the anointing. I want to ask you if you will. I know it's Sunday morning. Some of you already got your plans set. But I'd like for everybody in this building to join me for just a few moments in the altar today and say, God, would you, for the rest of 2016, pour out your Spirit in Alabaster Church of God. Pour out your anointing, your life-changing love in our altars, in our lives, in our families, in our hearts. God, would you pour out your Spirit in us today?